This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
Duh. Yeah. Just had to get that in there. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's more like duh.
Well, that's different. That's redefined.
That's redefined, yeah.
And joining us is?
Patrick Mahalik. Thank you. Pat, I was getting to it. I was going to give Carrie Ward a plug,
too. You gave me a blank look. And Kelly Ward?
Carrie Ward.
Every time, man. You know I'm close enough for you to pop you.
Yeah, I know, and you would, too.
Please, I'm me.
The day is young.
Nice. And anyway, Patrick is head of the Sandbar Mitchell restoration effort.
Yeah, they've got their work cut out for them, too.
Okay, tell us why it's called the Sandbar Mitchell.
Well, basically, we are a small museum located in Brighton, Michigan, and we went to Alaska in 2013 and recovered a B-25 that crashed out there in 1969. So basically, this B-25 was a fire suppression bomber. And she had a multi-engine failure on takeoff and dumped the fire suppression retardant and basically bellied in on the sandbar back in 69 and was abandoned out there for 44 years. So a lot of the locals out there would use it as a marker point to turn into Fairbanks International Airport and started giving it the moniker Sandbar Mitchell.
Interesting.
Hmm. That's an interesting
story. I can't understand abandoning an airplane. That doesn't make sense to me.
It wasn't economical to recover.
I guess.
Both engines quit, and they bellied it in, and the damage had to be pretty extensive.
Well, the airplane itself actually wasn't badly damaged, and the main reason for the actual engines to cut out was the aircraft, because of the big fire that they were trying to fight. They were getting low on fuel up at Ladd Field up there, so they basically sent a fuel truck up from Allison Air Force Base, and lo and behold, that fuel truck was marked AVGAS, but it actually had Jet A in it. So there was enough fuel in the airplane to get the B-25 into the air, but as soon as it made the turn to go start heading towards Manly Hot Springs, that's when both engines quit.
Ouch.
So once the airplane actually bellied in on the sandbar, it was basically a gear-up landing. So the owner actually did come and recover the engines and instruments. The main reason the aircraft was actually abandoned was not 2 days after the accident. People decided that was, good place to go out and use for target practice.
Oh.
So shot the airplane up pretty good.
Wow. So you had a lot of holes to patch.
Yes, a little bit more than that because, time on the bomber was rough, and it wasn't corrosion was the problem. It was people coming out and scavenging parts or souvenirs off of it.
Yeah.
So basically when we went out there, what we were really recovering was the center section and the data plate and the registration of the aircraft. And so once we had before we actually did the recovery, I've been collecting B-25 parts since I was a young kid. I'm 34 now. I've had a love of the B-25 since I was a very young age. I was drawing pictures of it for my grandfather and just started collecting parts. So when I was in college, I spent a lot of time doing research, and that's how I learned about this B-25 being out there and knowing that someday I wanted to build a nonprofit museum out around it, recover the airplane, and start a youth mentorship program to get kids involved in restoration and maintenance of aircraft.
What was the first B-25 part you collected, and how old were you?
Well, the first part, I started buying instrument gauges and that kind of stuff when I was like 18, 19. And the first big part was when I bought the remains of a plane that was actually static display here in the States. And so I ended up with some pieces from that, which was a big step to getting to make this recovery worth it.
Okay, so he bought an airplane, and then you'd say, okay, now what?
Hey, wait a minute. He's 18 years old. You're probably living at home. What did your dad
Mom!
Say? Get that B-25 out
of my
driveway.
Garage, yeah.
Well, I didn't actually get the actual big parts of the airplane until I was in my 20s. My first airplane that I actually got was an NA-64 Yale that I saved out of Jackson, Michigan. And that was a really cool project, and I since sold that airplane, but it brought me other projects that I do for customers. So my day job is restoring and doing maintenance on warbirds. So.
Oh, that must be nice.
It's a lot of fun. It is.
Yeah,
and hopefully next year that NA-64 that I've been building for the last 7 years will be here at Oshkosh for people to see. So
very cool.
We'd like to see that.
So how long have you been working on the Sandbar Mitchell?
We got about 4 years into the museum now since we became actually a nonprofit. The airplane itself, we spent a lot of time inventorying, disassembling parts. One thing that we always say is that, the low-hanging fruit has been found. So we've had to scavenge all across the country to find other caches of parts that haven't been picked up or even other wrecks. We actually ventured back out to Alaska, and one of these things we were working on, the top section of the bomb bay of our aircraft was actually cut off by someone up in Alaska. And the only thing we could figure out is that makes a perfect sled to pull behind, like a snow machine or something like that.
Right.
So we had to basically rebuild that. And one of the things that we had to acquire was the attachment angles that go between the center section and the forward and rear fuselage. And we started looking into having those made, and then lo and behold, I get a call and someone says, hey, do you know there's a B-25 carcass sitting out here in Nome, Alaska, in the dump? And I couldn't believe it. So we went out there and we went and looked at it. And sure enough, there's a carcass of a B-25 that supposedly had 40 hours total time on the airframe, was delivered up to Fairbanks during the Russian, during the loan lease program, transferred to the USSR. And the students bullied it in up there at Satellite Field. So they stripped it what they could, and then it just sat there. And then someone had the, you know, realized what it was, and they saved it from being completely destroyed. And the original hangar from World War II that was during the whole loan lease program was up there still. And they put the B-25 next to it and created a little museum up there. But, you know, the interest of the museum was not there, so they decided that it would be make better use to us, and they donate, you know, transferred the ownership to us. So that gave us a whole, you know, a lot of the parts that we needed, like these attach angles, were on that, and they were usable. So the stuff that we can't use that's not already because it's cut, we could put on that airframe and actually make a stack B-25 out of it. But it's really cool because it is a time capsule because it was never modified.
Wow. Hmm. Wow. Interesting. They're still out there. You'd think that every wreck has been found and everything that could be recovered has been, and but yet nope. We hear more and more of this.
They're pulling airplanes almost daily out of the Great Lakes.
Yep.
All kinds of stuff.
Well, most people, you know, when they see pictures of this, you know, this B-25, they think that we're in over our heads and that we're kind of crazy for trying to save something that was this far gone. Because, sadly, I mean, there was a lot that was cut off the airplane. But what I saw was a beautiful, good set of spar caps up there. And that's one of the big things in the B-25, which grounds most of them, is corrosion in the spar caps. And so when we went up there originally and just basically assessed the aircraft, the first thing we did was look at the caps to see if there was corrosion, especially corrosion, you know, integrating the corrosion or corrosion caused by dissimilar metals where, you know, bolts went through the spars. So once we got it back, our youth, you know, we spent over a year basically disassembling the whole center section. We drilled every single rivet out of it and took it all the way down to the spar caps. And then basically recently this year, we actually had a company out of Grand Rapids, Michigan, come out and do non-destructive testing on them, and they passed. So we got a good set of airworthy spars. So we're very, very, you know, excited about that. One thing we do is we have close to 90-some thousand drawings. We're very, you know, thankful to Air Corps Library. They've helped us out tremendously. We go ahead and we take everything, we draw them in CAD using either SolidWorks or Inventor, and then we design our fixtures off of that. And then we just recently had a company, Automation and Modular Components, that's in Davisburg, Michigan, generously build us our fixture for us and donate it. And now, currently in our shop, the spar is all back together, sitting in this fixture ready for riveting. So.
You realize, of course, that when you complete this, there's going to be a lot of other people approaching you to restore a B-25 for them.
Probably. You know, we got some pretty cool stuff at our booth here in Warbirds right now. So we got the fully restored glass nose. We got a campaign that we just started that I'll talk about here in a bit. We have our fully restored throttle quadrant and some other items that the youth worked on, as well as we have a lot of our youth actually here at the show that come in and out of the booth throughout the week.
Very good. So you're opening this up to kids to get them involved and inspire them.
Yes, I mean, basically why I'm being able to do what I am doing today is because I had mentors that led me this way. Basically, I got a bachelor's in aviation maintenance from Western Michigan University with my A&P. I went through 4 years at Air Academy here at Oshkosh. I've missed one EAA since I was 13. And, you know, it's the best way of getting it back. And, you know, the youth that we have in this, they are so passionate about aviation, passionate about history, you know, and this project's become a part of them. I mean, it's, you know, they eat, believe, you know, they're like me. They, you know, eat, breathe, and sleep B-25. And so it's pretty cool to see, you know, what these kids are actually doing with this airplane. I mean, it's not only are we going to make it fly, but we're trying to make it one of the most historically accurate B-25s flying.
What model is it?
It's a J model.
Okay.
So one thing with this airplane is it flew with the moniker 8Z on the tail because of our N number, and when it was a fire bomber. We wanted to leave that to honor the heritage of a fire bomber. So doing the research, we found that the 340th Bomb Group, 488th Squadron, flew with a ship 8 Zulu because of their last digit of their squadron, plus they had 26 aircraft. And so we've done a lot of research, and we're going to basically restore the airplane to resemble the actual 8Z that got shot down over in combat over at Campo, Italy. And actually in August here, we actually have a member from our original recovery team that's also a board member of the museum that's been working really hard and working with the team over there. They actually located that wreck site and found out that there was a gentleman that saw the B-25 actually crash in 45 and went out there and recovered large parts of that airplane. And that family has since been sending us parts. So we have some parts that are actually airworthy conditioned parts from the original 8 Zulu that got shot down over Italy that are going to be incorporated into our restoration.
Now, that's really cool. That's cool.
What is your time schedule on this? Do you have an approximate idea when you're going to have her flying?
Well, the one thing working with youth is, you know, it does take a little bit more time because it's a learning experience. A lot of the kids that we get coming into the shop have never, some of them have never even held a wrench. So we go ahead and we work on...
it's the round end, by the way. You use the round end of the wrench.
So you know, it's we're hoping for 10 years. You know, that's our goal, but it is really funding dependent. You know, being a 501c3, we rely on public support, and that's how we, you know, go ahead and, you know, make this thing happen. But I recommend coming over and checking out our booth and, you know, checking out our new program, the Guardians of History. Basically, you can come over and actually sponsor any part of our B-25, and that forever becomes your part, and you are the guardian of that part.
Nice. Where exactly are you located?
We are over in Warbirds. Basically, if you know where the EA Warbirds merchandise building is, there's the big food tent. We are right there by Fighter Alley. You can't miss us. We actually have the vertical stabilizer from the B-25 with the bullet hole still in it, and as well as the fully restored glass nose.
I was going to say, do you have a website for this?
We do. It's warbirdsofglory.org. And we also have a Facebook page. You can look us up at Sambar Mitchell. Or warbirdsofglory.org.
And I understand you're going to be signing autographs on limited edition prints. Like, you got to use that word, limited edition.
Yeah, we will be. I'll actually be over in the cruise flight booth here with Carrie. I'm very fortunate to be Todd, my business manager, and I will be on this cruise in January 7th to the 14th. It's going to be a lot of fun, aviation themed, great place for networking and meeting people. And you can come on that cruise and you can hear our story. We'll be giving a presentation on the recovery of the B-25.
If anybody has any questions or wants to stop by the cruise flight booth to say hi to Patrick and see one of these beautiful lithographs and maybe even get it signed, stop by the cruise flight booth, which is in Hangar A. It's 1007. And if you can't make it, check out cruiseflight.com.
Very good. Well, I want to thank you for joining us, both Carrie and Patrick.
Yeah.
And another worthy effort to bring another aircraft back where it belongs.
We wish you good luck with this. You've taken on quite an undertaking here.
And this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.